Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Anime Cult Episode 6. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mathis, joined today by Dodger and Indy, as always. Hello. Welcome back.
Hello.
We got a weird one to talk about today. As we were talking about, I hope you guys have all watched Psycho Pass. That's the big topic for today. And this was Indy's addition to the list, was it not?
Indy said it was in his top five, correct?
Yeah, I don't know exactly where, but it is a very beloved anime by me, and I'm assuming a lot of other people. But yeah, this was certainly the darkest show that we've watched so far, the most fucked up show that I think we're gonna watch for a long time. We have some nice ones coming up, but it is one of my favorites because I'm into this sick shit, so I'm very interested to hear what you guys think about Psycho Pass.
Do you want to give us a synopsis? You want me to read the wiki?
Oh hell yeah, synopsis. There's a lot going on this series, so
this was a series that taught me early, let's like not watch the series really early on in the like time frame and before we record, and like watch the bulk of it within the first week and then just wait and then watch the rest later and just be like, oh wait, who the fuck is who? I can't remember, but
what's going on?
So this is a sci-fi thriller, I think is a safe thing to call it. It's set in the future where it's like possible to measure and quantify a person's state of mind and personality in this big system they call the civil system. And this number that you can get from every single person is called a Psycho Pass. That's why it's called Psycho Pass. And it's used to measure the individual's potential in criminal behavior. And that's pretty much the world of Psycho Pass. What happens in this show in 22 episodes is a lot. We follow Akane and Kogami and a lot of other characters in this little get-up they got going. It's a lot.
We basically hang out with the police of this world and see what that's like.
And the police work with criminals or latent criminals that they use as like their brute force. They use them as their like detectives. And anyone that has a criminal behavior or their psychopath number gets too high, instead of shooting them dead or putting them in jail, they use them as in what they call enforcers. So they take them out into the streets and get them to do all the dangerous work while the non-criminals can like sit at their desk and figure out the crimes.
The red shirts.
That's the synopsis of the show. What the show is about is a lot. It's got this guy called Shogo Makashima, who is like this, I'd really like him as a villain, but we'll get into that later. This incredible like mastermind behind all these crimes going on. He's in the past of some of the characters that we follow as well, and he's like this, he never does the dirty work himself, but his psychopath never changes. So some people in this world, they can kind of control their number, which is an incredible flaw of this whole system they have going on. So they can control it. So if a detective or an enforcer points their gun at them, the gun says, no, that's a normal human being. We're good here. And it literally won't shoot. And that is like one of the biggest issues, a big flaw in the series and in the world as a whole of Psycho Pass. But I think the first episode is an incredible setup, but I'll throw it to you guys. What did you think of overall Psycho Pass? What did you think of the first episode?
Minority Report, like a little bit, right? Like it's got that whole like.
That's exactly how I pitched it to my friend that I started watching it with. Yeah, I think it's like anime Minority Report, right?
First thought for me when I started watching is like, I wonder. There's a lot of animes where like number systems are involved, and the flaw of person who can hide number exists. Solo Leveling had that same problem. They mentioned the people who can hide their power. That happens. That's like a anime trope, I feel like, at this point. For a society like this, it's a huge problem. That's like, maybe we should sit down and redo the whole thing real quick. Because if these serial killer type people or these fucking Machiavellian ass people like, Makashima exist, like maybe we should maybe tinker with the technology like a little fucking bit.
But by the end, we realize why they don't.
There's a lot going on outside of like the world we just set up there. Like, although obviously the the people behind all these systems are very corrupt and they want it to be this way for a reason. But yeah, we'll get into like that big reveal with the tower at the end. But yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree that the first episode is such like high action, high stakes, right? And then to be honest, I felt like some parts were really rushed and weird, like interpersonally at the beginning of this anime. It felt like we would have an episode that was like really good and well paced, and then we'd have an episode where people like sat and talked like for too long, you know. so for me, I wasn't like super in on this show until I want to say like episode 10, whenever the friend got kidnapped.
Yeah.
From then on, I feel like everything flowed really, really well, and the stakes like ramped.
Yeah, yeah, there was
really
a lot of
nice gradual,
a
way.
Lot of startup for sure, a lot of setup, and a lot of stuff that I enjoy. But it's definitely filler, like the video game, like the VR world video game stuff. I love that stuff, and it's so unique. But it is like, did we need two episodes of like just like in-game like avatars talking to each other? Yeah.
Not to jump ahead, you know, but is there a reason, like it kind of ends on a soft cliffhanger? Do we not eventually watch season 2 and 3?
There's season
on the notes when I looked at it, it was like, we don't talk about season 2 and 3. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That is exactly what Indy said. Like, season 2 doesn't exist
a movie that
for
came
us,
out
gang.
This
okay.
Year.
The audience know.
That follows Kagami and Akane. So there's a movie literally that just came out following them two after the events of this series. So it does continue. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
And they're briefly in one of the seasons. Maybe not two, but maybe 3 or 4. They brought them back. Because everyone's like we're watching Psychobus, and yeah, we're like, where are the two best characters from season 1 gone? They kind of did a thing where they follow a different group of enforcers and law enforcement. So they're like a completely different batch of people just tackling a different crime, which it can work. But for people who really enjoy Kagami and like Akane, it did not work at all, which I can see why.
I guess, and especially with the stakes of this season, going with a totally different group of people, it would maybe feel like too much of a reset, right? Yeah. Like that team made such strides in trying to figure things out and like break, you know, whatever system is trying to run shit. That to join with a whole new group of people,
yeah, like
feels
chasing like a murderer or something.
Like,
you're like, man, we had Makashima, like the mastermind murderer of all time.
Homie,
yeah.
What? Like, society almost fell apart last season. What's going on?
Yeah, he almost controlled the foods of all of Japan. But yeah, let's.
There's so much to talk about. The Sybils, like, what the fuck? Like, where do we want to start? Like, I feel like we started, obviously, but this is a lot.
I mean, because it sort of starts with establishing mm-hmm. characters, we can start with like how we felt about the characters at the beginning of the show.
Like, yeah, what do you guys think? So, think of like, I mean, mainly the main group of enforcers and supporters and stuff. Like, what did you guys think of those? You know, Kagami, Akane, Ginoza, and his dad.
I made a lot of assumptions about the characters and about how the show was going to treat them that I was fortunately incorrect about. I think there was a point like later on with Akane where I was like, oh my God, she has changed so much. And not in a way where it felt like unjustified. It felt like it absolutely made sense and was like really gradual and well done. And the moments when she had big shifts were directly after like major events, right? And so I was really frustrated with her at the beginning, but I think you're supposed to be. And it makes her like turning into this fantastic detective. Like it works really well. I was really happy with that, but I was worried that she wasn't going to change enough for me, you know?
Her arc worked. I agree. I really like them as well. And I mean, the villain was great. Like it was just like the best part of the fucking show. And, Makashima is just he's got that, which he's just got that you want to root for him.
Yeah.
There's a part of you just like, I get it, bro. But also like,
just like super intelligent. Well,
yeah, because we,
he's got that light-esque, like smart level of just genius planning ahead at all times.
And we, as the viewers, right, when we're watching this, we're like, I understand what they're going for with this society, but I can also see the flaws, right? So when it becomes clear that he's like trying to break the Sybil system and starts explaining why he wants to do that. Yeah, I love a villain like that where you're like, bro, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the system
should
sucks.
Not be there.
Like, I'm with him.
yeah, the system does not work. It's bad. but should we be doing it like this? I don't know.
Agreed. I forgot to look something up. I think they call it like, so Sybil system. Sybil, I believe, I don't think they mentioned the show, is an old Greek seer, like prophecy. Historian, which makes sense for why they call it the Sybil system. I'm trying to look that up right now to clarify, because I might be thinking about Vampire the Masquerade more. So I'm trying to figure it out.
I mean, with Makishima always reading like the classic literature, that would not surprise me that they've kind of delved into that stuff.
There's lots of references to like
Sybils were theoreticians. Sorry, and Sybil was a title that they gave prophetesses and priestesses who could foretell the future. So Sybil was a, okay, so that's the connection for people who might be curious.
The other assumption that I kind of made was about the enforcers. Because I think that they went like too heavy handed at the beginning, to be honest, like Gyunoza being like, you're going to work with them, but don't think of them as humans. They're not human, right? I was like, these are going to be some monsters, right? I was ready for them to be so unhinged. And generally, they were all like normal people, which again, I think was kind of the
like
point,
their
right?
criminal level was just like slightly above like what is considered normal. So they're like, ah, shit, like, what am I supposed to do about this? Yeah.
The system was like, these people like will be criminals if they're left out, so instead we're gonna keep them prisoner and make them work for the police.
Which is like also a very weird choice to do with people who you believe are gonna be criminals. Like, it's like, all right, well, you're a cop now. It's America, maybe, you know, it's America, maybe a little bit.
So I had three stages with the enforcers. Okay, at the start I was like, oh my god, these guys are gonna be crazy, like weirdo psychos, right? And they were not. And then I was like, I'm worried that we're not gonna get enough about them. Like, what was her name? Yayoi, the rocker girl.
Yeah.
We got so far into the show before we got any backstory with her, and I was like, are we never gonna find out anything about her except that she's macking on the hacker lady? Like, is that the only thing we're gonna ever know about her? So I was glad that we got these moments with all of the characters, with all of the enforcers, to sort of show us these are just normal people.
They all had a bad day.
And the redhead guy who was like, I was labeled a latent criminal when I was a kid, and I've just been a latent criminal my whole life. Like, how fucked up
that is. I love
that
guy. Man, his fate is so sad.
Yeah.
I would have been labeled a criminal as a kid.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Bro, I was thinking that too. I was like,
I think I would have been.
Man.
I think so.
In this system, like, what would my hue be? I don't want to know.
Just high enough to put you in a bad spot is where mine would be.
I think anyone who's been through the YouTube system has had a day bad enough where we would have turned.
Made it through the YouTube system and like came out somewhat like successful. You are fucked. Your brain is after the algorithm.
We would all disappear.
Permanently altered your brain chemistry on some fundamental level. You operate always in accordance with YouTube algorithms and you don't even realize it.
Or if you went through the retail system before YouTube, you are you're gone. You're a goner.
Or I was a waiter. Also, same thing.
Yeah.
Fucking
hospitality. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Immediate latent criminal.
Oh god. Yeah. It's one of those worlds too where you just like this is just, and they, like you said, they do it through these kind of almost set up of like, oh, they're like kind of typical anime. They're going to be terrible people. Then they're like, oh no, they're normal people. And then it makes you immediately start second guessing the world itself, which sets you up to line up with the villain. Like, you know, where you're just like, yeah, okay. This whole thing might actually suck. And I mean, obviously there's obvious anime holes through the whole thing, but also the whole thing is just like, it's the same, and not to compare it to Minority Report, but it's like the same kind of general, like, through line in terms of just lesson of just, you can't, it all falls apart when you start actually trying to implement these things. You can't control people because you can't predict what people are going to do.
Right. And one of Makishima's whole things, right, was like, without free will, are we even humans?
You're not, right? Like,
right. Like without the choice to decide whether to do something bad or not, like that doesn't count as living, right? Which I thought was like such an interesting conversation to be having.
It's just really unfortunate that everyone that he kind of gave free will were all psychopaths and not like, none of them did anything good. Like I really like the female student who is like just one of the sickest people. She did like the Hannibal style kills of like,
I was thinking about Hannibal when I was watching.
Like
the way
she set up their corpses in public displays of if you've ever seen the show Hannibal, just the sickest, most gross, like public displays of kills.
I haven't seen a lot. You don't understand.
We don't have to talk about it now, but it's one of my favorite shows ever.
I didn't like the final season, but watch the first two. I really like those. There was three.
I'm doing
right?
more important things, like watching Psycho Pass and replaying through Kingdom Hearts for my brain's.
Okay, I agree with the first one, not so much as the second one, but we'll ignore that. We're going to move on. there was the girl, the student who did horrific things. There was that hunter who was 100% cyborg that couldn't, he did not blink.
That was when the hunter hunting people in like a weird sewer system obstacle course. That was when I was like,
this shit is sick with the robot dogs. Yeah. He had someone else as well. There was somewhere between those, or maybe the first. Oh, there was like that nerd who was controlling
the VTuber guy.
Boogie. Yeah. Like he would kill the VTuber behind it, and then control them as be them, and then like kind of control the masses through like this online game.
My friend that I was watching this show with has like been doing stuff in VR chat for forever, and we were like, I can't believe that Psycho Pass predicted
it is VR chat. Like even all the avatars it's are
literally
dead on.
VR chat
so
is hell.
Funny.
Something that's completely not story related, but I want to bring up, this fucking show is beautiful. I love the colors, the neon, the bright shit of just like, which is so contrasting to just the story and like the crime story that's being told. It's beautiful.
It has an atmosphere for sure. Like, and the music, so good. The music is incredible.
I was confused when we first started. I confused this anime with something else because I thought this was an anime that came out in the 90s for some reason, and I don't know why. And I'm gonna have to.
I may be wrong, but this might be the creator of Ghost in the Shell. So you might be thinking of, because they're very similar in style. But I could be wrong.
I was very surprised when I started it, and I was like, am I watching like a remake or something? Like, this is like way too pretty. No, I was just wrong about what it is. Yeah, it's a beautiful show.
It's like mid-2010s, wasn't it, I believe?
2012, yep.
2012, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it looks, certainly for 2012, it looks incredible, yeah.
Going back to the heavy-handedness with which they were like, these people aren't human, don't treat them like humans, right? We then proceeded to have multiple scenes where she was just alone with one enforcer. I found that really odd. Like, she just hung out with them like pretty consistently. There was a scene where Kogami was driving the car and she was in the car and like they were waxing poetic about something. And my friend and I both at the same time were like, why the fuck is he driving?
What is going on? Like, it doesn't.
The cars can self-drive. They like alternate between showing them like hands on the wheel driving and just hands off the wheel, like just letting the car drive itself.
I'm assuming in this world, it's going to be like the car will refuse to do any criminal activity as well. Like you won't be able to just like, meh, it'll be like, nope, you're not allowed to do that.
Right. I guess the point is that they made it seem like you shouldn't be trusting the enforcers with any kind of like power at all. And so to be like, you drive, it seemed really odd to us. Or like, I'm just going to like hang out and have a meal with one enforcer.
It's because he's hot, dude. He's hot. It's all good. Come on.
So right.
Oh, no. He's so hot. They're always hot.
He's one of the first people that was like, your life has been so easy. My life sucks.
Do we want to jump to like talk about the tower reveal too? Because that's like kind of.
We can, yeah.
I mean, we can just. With this one, I feel like we need to jump around because it's just.
Yeah. That's another big part of this. Just like, so, like, for the most of the show, you think the symbol system is kind of an AI, something that operates on a, you know, big computer or whatever. And then it's like, surprise, it's actually a bunch of brains. It's just a bunch
of. Yeah, it's a bunch of brains like Makashima.
Yeah,
like
Makashima. Specifically asymptomatic is what they call them. So, there won't be people who can hide their numbers, which is a way to, I guess, like. It helps them figure out who's going to come. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of fucking brains.
Well, they called it asymptomatic, but it was essentially like anybody who lacks empathy for other people. If you completely lack empathy for other people, then they, as a system of brains, have determined that you will be able to objectively look at the behavior of people.
Something I meant to bring up is like kind of a sensitive thing to interestingly bring up in the anime, because those people exist, like with an inability to, but they're
for sure
sociopaths, I believe, and not psychopaths. Psychopaths are a little bit something else, but like sociopaths, people who can't feel empathy, doesn't mean they're bad people. That's the thing. There are plenty of people who are good people regardless of like that. And that's just something that's like, I was interested that they went and kind of explored that a little bit in terms of like the world that they use. Not any meaningful real way, but it was just interesting.
Yeah. Which kind of touches on one of the major themes, right? Of like, you can be born into a certain circumstance, you can have a certain type of brain, but that doesn't mean that you are going to choose to do bad things, right? Or that you are going to choose to harm people.
I mean, Akane was like that too, right? Her psychopaths just wouldn't move. Or it was very hard.
But she wasn't at zero. Yeah. So I thought that was going to be one of the big reveals, was like, Akane's the same person as Makashima.
Thing, but it ended up, she's just kind of the foil, the idealistic foil to the pragmatic partner. Like that's kind of what she played. And that, like, her character arc was great, but that's, she really was, it was not anything more than what it was presented as.
I realized that it was different when they pointed the gun at Makashima and it showed zero. And I was like, well, that's not the same, because her hue does jump up. It just comes back down really fast, right? Like, she always stabilizes mentally.
Because like those bursts of rage or like emotion or whatever.
And boy, howdy, did she have some of those. Certainly with Makashima with the shotgun, when he had her friend with the razor blade, and he's like, forget about your like enforcer weapon. Here's a shotgun. Just shoot me. That's how it should be. Like, that's your freedom of choice. And she doubts it for a while, but then she does take the shot. Unfortunately, she does miss both shots, and then he slits her throat in front of her, which is like one of the most brutal scenes in the show.
Just another interesting theme too is like, beyond that, obviously does removing choice, or I mean removing free will, mean you're even human, but also the implications of removing choice from any decision making, whether it's, you know, shooting somebody like as a law, to take that off of somebody removes them and absolves them of like any need to think or feel about what it is that they're doing. They're just doing what the numbers tell them, and that's okay. And that's, I mean, for 2012, it was, I mean, it's always important, but it particularly hits a little bit harder nowadays, like the more recently.
Yeah.
Like the idea of choice, at least in America, with like what a lot of people are just sick of a system. They don't want to think. They don't want to fucking deal with the complexities. They just want somebody else to do it and not think. And like, that is tempting. In general, like, that's just a tempting mindset to jump into, because it does absolve you of a lot of things, but also it doesn't really, because you're still complicit in it all. If you're not making a choice, it's still making a choice. And that's like, you know, again, another one of the themes that I love that kind of just wove its way through the show.
I think one of the most horrifying scenes, honestly, in this show is the first masked guy beating a woman to death in the crowd. And the whole time I was like, what is going on? Because everybody just watches, right?
Yeah, brutal.
And I was like, how are people not even reacting, right?
Yeah, they
like
start filming it.
Like, I understand them being too scared to intervene, but to not react at all. And later they were saying, like, with this system, literally none of these people are ever encounter violence of any kind. And so it feels like it's not happening.
It's associated.
Like they can't comprehend it. Which is so, like, such a bizarre concept to wrap
almost
your mind
like shocked,
around.
Like, they go in shock. Yeah, and they just can't move.
But they assume it's fake or something, because they're like, this literally can't
be
real.
A bunch of them were filming it, and I was like, do they think that it's not real? Like, it was so weird.
It is, but it's also interesting, too, because there are, like, moments in our own modern history of things just being filmed instead of people calling, like, 911 or whatever. If someone just, like, insane, like, accidents happen, and people, their first thought is, like, TikTok babies is going to get me like famous.
It's kind of ahead of its time in that sense. Where it's
it is. It really was, because Odd Taxi touched on that too, which which was really interesting.
Which is a bit more modern. But yeah, like the masks, that first mask scene was really bad, but then it just kept kind of escalating with like what these mask people would get away with, like lighting those people on fire and just having them.
And then people fighting back and being like, I read on the internet that if you're killing the guys with the masks, then your hue won't go up. And I was like, this is exactly what happened. Is people would just spread misinformation immediately. Yeah,
that's exactly what would happen.
And yeah, it was all like orchestrated by Makashima. He is such a good villain.
It never got better.
No.
Like you said, it was like after that first one, you're like, and it never.
Because those masks didn't hide your hue. It just mirrored people around you's hue. So obviously, as more people got violent, the mask would just stop working.
It's interesting because I saw this video the other day. I think it's China, where they have a lot of face recognition, AI technology and whatnot. There's a shirt that someone created and they were demonstrating it. The minute they put it on, it can't, it does the AI and whatnot and doesn't recognize, because the pattern on the shirt fucks with the AI so much, it blanks you out.
Again,
and
I was just like, I love that. Just beat Psycho Pass, it's over.
Literally, like it's it. It's all talk. It was just a fun shirt, like a bright yellow shirt.
Makashima, you had to get
a bunch of shirts into the public.
Reality is just way dumber all the time. It's just the dumber version of all these things.
True.
Yeah, so we haven't talked about oh my gosh, what's the name of her partner, with the glasses?
Oh, fuck. Hang on. I can find out for you.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I told you before we started recording, the names were killing me beyond the original
three. Gnosa. Gnosa.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Oh, Gnosa. Yeah.
He was another very interesting character to me. Did you guys... I guessed that the older guy on the Force
Masoka?
Was maybe his dad.
Yeah. I loved Masoka, by the way.
I loved him. And then like, pretty early on, I think he has that sit down talk where they're like, we don't want you to turn out like your dad. Your hue is climbing. Watch out, you know? And I was like, oh shit. He had kind of like, not secret, but sort of subtle connections with a couple different people in the team that sort of like came to a head at the very end. And I felt like he was so one-dimensional at the start. Again, as the same with all of the other characters, I guess. I felt like he was so one-dimensional at the start, very just like, we always have to follow the rules, right? And by the end, I really liked him. Like, I thought he had shown so much like growth as a character.
He's very emotionally complex. That's what, like you said, every character was presented in a way that was like, very anime tropey.
Yeah. And then characters. They were very characters.
Well written. I can see why, if season two is not these characters, I can see why people would just be like, I don't want to, man, you got us all invested in all these people,
all
man.
Again.
You like ripped our hearts out. Why the fuck do I want to go to these new people? Fuck.
Because obviously
he's like, you are my son after all. He's got like
that's devastating. That's the most devastating death in the show. And then obviously Genosa turns into a enforcer at the end and is just part of the usual team. He's just in the van now because that single event just broke him.
Because it would break anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Like it happened with Kagami as well, with his partner who was killed in this horrific way by Makishima back in the day. Like, I forgot what those murders were called.
Right.
They had a very specific, like, serial killer.
The specimen?
Yeah, the specimen killer.
Specimen
murders? Yeah. Which is what that girl from the school was kind of mimicking. That's how they brought it all back together. But yeah, that single, like, he was a police officer, Kagami. And then one horrific event, and he is sent to prison and turned into an enforcer. And I feel like that happens, apart from Kagari, he said that, like, one thing that happened when he was a kid. Like, just all these people just had, like, a bad day and then immediately turned into criminals, and it's such a shame.
It's the commentary that I love about the show, right? Because, like, that's so true to life, man. Like, one bad day, you know, like one bad event can change you forever. It can upend your perception of what you thought was real to a point where you literally die and you have to come back as someone entirely new. And that shit changes you. And like to be then judged on that bad day, obviously, is like the lesson, you know, on a more surface level is like no one deserves that. But also like that's growing, man. Like you gotta let these people. And yeah, obviously that's the whole point of like the utopian dystopia of the symbol system.
Yeah, not a single one of these people, when they show their backstory, I'm like, yep, no, I could imagine me being that. Like if that happened to me, I would not be very happy with it, and I would also be a criminal right now.
yeah, you're like, and my hue number would be higher.
I think it was in the Yayoi backstory episode, but like she was in therapy, right, quote unquote, and I think up to that point either they hadn't really talked about it or you as the viewer were left to assume that if someone was taken in for therapy eventually they would get re-released, and so she got brought in because her psychopath level was too high, but not so high that she was considered a criminal. And so she was brought in for therapy to help her hue go down. And she kept like waiting basically to be released and eventually got offered the enforcer job. Right. And she was like, does that mean that you don't think that my hue's going to go down? I don't remember which character it was, but one of them who offered her the job said something along the lines of, look, you're not getting out of here, right? And you realize even if people are brought in under the pretense of getting therapy, they don't get
released. I think it was Kinoza. He was just like, young. He looked different maybe. And his partner might have been Kagami's old partner, I think it was, who sat him down and like talked to her about it. But yeah, I think it was Kinoza who talked to her, like who recruited her.
I feel like we should at some point tackle season two as well. I'd be curious, like, is it also bad? Or is it simply because people are so not into changing characters? I get it. Like, I'm part of me is because it's a world where it does kind of serve or open itself to being able to tell multiple kinds of stories.
Exploring the world from different perspectives.
But eventually, like, it needs to change top. Like, you know, the main thing needs to be addressed overall.
So I'm looking up season two. Apparently, Akane is still in it, just no one else is. Obviously, Kagami goes on the run at the end of this season, but I guess she's still going in it. And then the first thread on Google was, people actually like season two, and that was a year ago. I'm not going to read this whole Reddit post, but there's a big thread here of like people. And then there was a season three, and then obviously the movie. I'd like to see the movie because it continues this.
I'm curious about the movie.
Exact season. Providence is called. It came out last year, and it literally has Kagami and Akane on the front. So I'm guessing it's got an 84%. So I guess people
maybe it's not bad. Maybe.
Like the return. That's the movie, not season two. I don't know. Okay. Season two doesn't have a percentage. Yeah,
guys, we could watch the movie. We could watch the movie,
and that would be. God, imagine watching like an 80-minute movie. That's so good.
I, We didn't talk about it, right? We didn't talk about Death Note live action?
No, not yet. We haven't subjected ourselves to that.
Because I just want you all to know.
We should, though.
I thought we were going to talk about it on the day we talked about it, so I watched it. So...
Oh, that's on you. Sucks. You know, that's, it does suck. I've seen it.
That has nothing to do with this right now. And it just reminded me, as like, I watched something that was absolutely ass. It was so bad.
Comment ass if you'd like for us to do an episode about live action.
I'm super down. Movie.
Well, it's not live action. It's not Netflix. So that's a double win.
Psychopath ass.
Definitely the most depressing anime we've watched so far.
Like I said, Duke's just like, can we watch like some slice of life stuff next? And I'm like, I completely understand.
It's rough. I love that kind of shit though. Like, I really enjoy it. It's like Evangelion is one of my favorite fucking animes of all time. It's a fucked up like depressed mess like this.
We still need to tackle because I haven't seen it, but that is that is one of the background ones we should do after we have some happy thoughts.
No, we need. I need breath of air.
Yeah, I've started watching our next show, and it is very, very pleasant. And I'm not, like I said to Dougs, I'm not a fan of Slice of Life, but I am very much enjoying our next anime. It's very good. Yeah.
I haven't started it yet. I got
to
start it.
You had a lot to tackle with this one, for sure. Yeah. it's a lot. It's so hard to watch, binge as well, because it's so...
That's what I said. I watched a lot in the very early on, and I just went, I need to
take a break.
And then I just... took almost a month, and I was like, all right, we gotta get back and finish this shit
in the best way possible. It brings your mood down for sure, but
there's so much to think about, and just like, I don't know, they do a really good job at just consistently breaking your expectations of what is these, like you said, these, who these characters are, what's actually fucking going on. And of course it has a giant brain twist at the end, very anime, like it's just a bunch of brains in jars, like, okay, that's fucking and weird, it's shit cool,
a bunch of really cool anime shit, like fights, gunfights, like the gun really is like the 3D gun.
It's all good.
And the Makishima and Kagami fight at the end, like, was teased at the beginning in the tower, was super good as well. And just, like you said, just animation-wise is insane.
It was beautiful. The color, again, the colors were some of my favorite. Just, like, the neon...
Yeah, that world is, like, unmistakable to me. Like, if I see, like, a screen cap and it's from Psycho Boss, I'm like, yeah, that's Psycho Boss. But even if it has, like, no characters, I'm like, you can tell. That shit is so beautiful and horrific.
Overall, like, I really love this show, though. Like, it was up my alley, you know, in every way. It's, like, everything I fucking love in a serious kind of just anime. It was way more... It truly was way more depressing than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
I thought at some point it would have some sort of like win.
Fresh air.
You never felt like you got one. And it was like, but I kind of loved that about it. It was just the gut punch, and the times I teared up, I was just like, holy shit.
When we went back and watched Cowboy Bebop, obviously I'd already seen this. So I thought Cowboy Bebop was going to be like a more playful version of this, following a villain and story. So when that did not happen, I'm like, I prefer Psycho Boss.
You could do like Cowboy Bebop's another one of those, almost though, where it's a world where I feel like they could do
a show like this,
stories,
like
different like, characters. Exactly, do a season two where it's just same world. It's just the world design is so rich, like like it is for Psycho Pass. It's just like you can do a lot.
Dukes, what did you think?
Loved it. High end. I really enjoyed the shit out of this show.
Yeah, I thought it was gorgeous. I loved the conversations that it like sparked, the conversations that it wanted, or things that it wanted you to think about.
Aged better than when it came out.
Like, oh yeah,
it's more relevant now than it was back then.
For sure. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It was fun, like the VTuber thing, right? It was fun to watch it and be like, that's
There was no VTubers in 2012, so that's
now.
Wild. But like,
think about this. It's
similar
this
now.
This show came out in 2012. You like were just getting YouTube started, right? Like
that
right
is when I started my YouTube channel. Yeah, and
it's crazy. Like that's a different world back then.
Yeah, and you can watch it today. And
the only thing that they established as like normal in this world that I was like, bullshit, I cannot see a future where we can figure out how to make that work, was using your watch to change your clothes. I was like, are they digital clothes? Is everyone naked?
On top of you. It would make no sense.
And she had that little housekeeper, the little cat or something, wasn't it, in her house? It was like jellyfish.
It was a jellyfish, right? Yes, so cute. So cute. I loved that. We needed more
just
jellyfish.
Just the day of Akane would have been nice. She seemed to like live a pleasant life outside of all this mess.
Outside of the depressing world of being a cop.
I loved the idea of basically every home being like kind of a light holodeck almost.
Yeah, it's just a garbage house.
Like being able to wake up and just be like, this is what I want my house to look like right now. Like, I thought that was really fun, especially because they were able to use that in cases, right? They would like go into houses and like ask to see the most recent hologram or whatever. Yeah, and figuring out the couch and like seeing the woman's face of the victim and like all of that sort of stuff. I was like, this is cool. I like that they established that so early.
The little robots too. The little crime scene robots carrying all the little things. Yeah. I really like those.
Bro, I hate whoever came up with those like weird, like giant face baby mascots.
Yeah. When they're in the shopping center pretending to like watch that guy. Yeah. And they were like, let's go in disguise. And they're just the most obvious giant things of...
We'll never have holographic houses. Our best we could do is Meta Quest 3. So that's our future.
We'll be Facebook living in VR. Headsets. Yeah.
Yeah, headsets and sad, depressing VR chat.
Us people who get sick from that are going to be having a great time.
Oh, dude, I'm one of them.
Yeah, I can't go into VR.
Yeah, I
horrific.
Go in. I'm just like, and I want to vomit everywhere. Yeah.
Oh no.
Well. I loved it. Psycho Pass was fucking phenomenal. I'm very excited to eventually die. I think we should definitely at some point in the far future do season 2. I'm very curious.
Or at least the
is.
Movie that continues on from this, so for sure.
What is the next short one? Have we picked the next short one that we're going to talk about?
Keep your hands off Eizouken, I believe, is
which
our
is
next
on Crunchyroll,
short one.
So don't go into your Amazon... Crunchyroll and it's like, here's the Irish dub.
Here's it's more convenient for my couch. I had no issues with Psycho Pass, so we'll see. Just solo leveling was a nightmare.
Strange.
Actually, I had a bunch of problems with the closed captioning and subtitles
for
Psycho Pass. No. Hold on. After this, I'm going to send you guys a screen cap, but it is like some of the subtitles were definitely generated by AI and no one bothered to fix them. It's so
Psychopath is leaking into the real world, into the psychopath.
Like, come on, man.
ChatGPT is just like a couple of brains.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And yeah.
And Gemini
don't let,
just
ChatGPT watch Psychopath.
Just going to feed it every
get
script.
Get too many ideas.
Hey, ChatGPT, I want you to tell me what you feel after these 22 scripts I'm about to feed you. Let me know what your thoughts are.
Do you agree with Makashima?
Yeah.
Who
no
was
judgment
right?
from me. Trust me, I won't tell your creators.
Don't worry, I won't turn you off.
And what was the next long one we're watching in the background, too?
My love story.
Ore Monogatari, which is also on Crunchyroll.
It is. I've watched a few episodes of the next one, and it is beautiful, pleasant. It's like, because they're making anime, it reminds me of like when I was a kid and I'd draw like anime pages in school. Like this they'd make these little levels, and then it all kind of the way it's animated is so good. But yeah, we'll wait until get into that.
Well, thank you all very much for thank you all so much for listening. As words fail to slip from my lips,
your 5 a.m. mouth.
Oh, I forgot to rate it. I kind of rate every single.
Oh yeah,
one.
How many Gokus or Freezers out of whatever? Which DBZ villain?
How
is
many
it?
Jet GPTs out
getting,
of 10?
Six orphans out of 7.
Oh, nice.
From the anime Orphan.
Okay, is that better than 6 Gokus?
I don't know. Is it? I'll leave that for the listener to decide. You let us know. The subreddit's still up and going. We are now also on Blue Sky. If anybody's on Blue Sky, you can follow us over there. It's not active like in terms of tweeting yet, but I'll get there. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next shorty boy that we'll be watching. We appreciate you. And is there anything else we want to say, or should I just say goodbye?
Have a great day. Bye.